All stations, all stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to episode 108 of the American Vindicta Show. I'm your host, Doug Thornton. And today we have a special treat for you. This is another episode of the Doug and Dave Intel Report that we are simulcasting. It was just recorded. We had our good friend, author, explorer, and lecturer, and ufologist, Tim Alberino. And we are having a discussion with Tim about his upcoming conference, the Birthright Conference. So if you do get the chance, please show up. Come and hang out with me and Dave and Tim. And there's still plenty of room available in the hotel and within the tickets. And if you have the ability, on May 6th and 7th, the Birthright Conference will be in Nashville, Tennessee. And we're going to have some really cool guests there. And the guest speakers, obviously we have Tim Alberino that will be there. Also, Joe Allen from the Steve Bannon's War Room. And Gary Haven and Mancow Muller. So it's going to be interesting. It's going to be a fun time. Get outside of the politics, folks. Get outside of all this crap that we listen to that depresses us every day. Come and have some fun. Hang out with us. And ladies and gentlemen, please enjoy the interview. Oh, and I forgot to tell you, like, share, subscribe, go to the YouTube channel, go to the Rumble channel. The L.A. Marzulli interview that's on Rumble, I am now going to put it on the YouTube channel. I have to change a few things because me in L.A. said some bad words about people in Rumble. So, you know, for all the easily offended in YouTube, I have to mix it up a little bit. Going to be the same interview though. You help me by subscribing and sharing the content. I don't know if people tell you about how this industry works, but within YouTube and within Rumble, the videos get monetized, we get paid for it, but you have to have so many subscribers before you can actually start to make any type of revenue off of this. Being the fact that this new gig of mine, this radio show, is how I directly get paid for me, for the family, for the show. I am constantly relied upon your donations and the sponsorship. So if you want to donate, please go to theamericanvindictashow.com and donate. Everything that you do goes straight back into this show. I am saving up right now to get some better equipment, get some better cameras, because it's going to take having the better cameras and the editing equipment for me to be able to make the Wrecker Chronicle series. I already have a bunch of stuff laid out for it. It's going to be epic whenever I get it going. But not only that, but you know, there's some travels I'm going to be putting in there, going to historical sites and making very good detailed historical content for you. So, you know, I mean, I ain't a millionaire. This isn't InfoWars, so everything that, you know, I get goes straight back into the show, and we greatly appreciate it. You know, it does not go unnoticed, and you know, typically if you have sent me anything, I almost immediately try to email you back and thanking you, because for one thing, I don't know why anybody would donate to this. You know, to be honest with you, if you really do like the content, then it's just God confirming to me that this is what I'm supposed to be doing. So from the bottom of my heart, I do thank you. If you want to be a sponsor of the show, hit me up. Go to theamericanvindictashow.com. Use the email area that's in there, because that's how I track everything. All right, the analytics of the show gets tracked through that. If you want to be a sponsor of the show and you want anything to be tested by me, email me, let me know. I'm always up for product testing. Thank you to KYH Radio. Thank you to GS Radio for hosting this. I'm sorry you guys have to put up with me and my horribly foul language. But other than that, please enjoy the interview.
Hey, everybody. Dave Hodges here, host of The Common Sense Show. Thank you so much for joining us. We are the show that's freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. And welcome back to our TV subscription service. Commercial free, but certainly not information free. And you see who we have on the screen with us here. This is pretty cool. Okay. We had a little glitch right there, but we have Timothy Alberino on, author of the book Birthright, and we're going to be talking about the Birthright Conference. And ladies and gentlemen, this is something that you really want to attend. Doug and I are going to be there. We're going to get into all that. Tim is going to be the featured speaker there. You see Doug up there on the top right, and I'm really looking forward to it. This has been kind of impromptu. It's been Doug called me today and says, Dave, we get to go to this conference if you want to. So I hadn't planned, and it's only 2 weeks away. I'm going to go. So anyway, I wish I'd had more time because I'm the only family member going, and my wife is kicking herself because she can't go to any of the shows in Nashville, which is where it is. But anyway, gentlemen, welcome. And Tim, I think this is a really important time for this conference because we're looking at a period here of disclosure. And I think it's going to be disclosure with propaganda, and we need watchmen like you to keep us on the straight and narrow.
Well, thanks for having me on your show, guys. And you're right. You're right, Dave. We are entering into a time that is nearly unprecedented in human history. We are in a transitional generation. And that's part of the reason why we see all of this trans insanity going on. We are literally transitioning into a new paradigm, and it's a post-human paradigm that's coming. And so you have a post-human paradigm looming on the horizon like a hurricane, and at the same time you have this unfolding disclosure of an alien presence. I mean, it is, as I said, it's nearly unprecedented in all of human history, and we're alive to see this transition.
It's an exciting time, no question about it. But Doug, let me just throw this at you as the co-founder here of the Doug and Dave Intel Report, because this is as big an intel as you're going to get. Do you trust what the government's putting out through Tucker Carlson and his sources on Fox News?
Being that I worked for the government for 14 years, and we will tell you what we want you to know, and everything that we tell you will be sanitized. You will never know deep, dark secrets. Period. You know, and that's just the way it is. The disclosure when it comes out, even from guys like the Navy pilots with the Tic Tac UFO, they were probably debriefed on what to say before just coming out and saying it. And you got to understand, you know, these guys, they have pensions, they have retirements, yep, and that can be yanked from them through UCMJ. Uniform Code of Military Justice, and they can have their retirements taken away from them or their benefits taken away from them. They can be given dishonorable discharges. Even if they're retired, they can still face penalties. So most of what you hear is very sanitized. There are still some incredible things out there, especially with stuff like the Tic Tac UFO, but you know, it's not the nitty gritty. So it seems to be kind of like with Roswell. It wasn't until you get deathbed confessions when people really come out with the stuff that it's like, oh my God, I can't believe this was actually there. And then you see the government attack the deathbed confessions. And, you know, Tim, I would have to tell you that probably one of the most escalating parts of the disclosure was whenever the Pentagon came out and said that women were being abducted and experiencing pregnancies. Would you like to speak about that?
Yeah, and this comes from that FOIA, the Freedom of Information Act document dump that was obtained by the Sun, which is a British paper, the U.S. division of the Sun paper. They filed for the request, the FOIA request, right after the New York Times broke the Nimitz incident back in 2017, that Tic Tac UFO, which I contend that Tic Tac is just a saucer flying on its side. That's how they fly. Within these documents are reports that were put together, research that was done for the Pentagon, for the programs at the Pentagon, the AATIP program and the other programs. And so these reports were generated by different entities for the government to review and look at. For the Pentagon. So it's not like the Pentagon itself was in, just like any government agency, it's always outsourced. And within these reports, there are definitive cases of abduction. And when I say definitive, I mean with physical proof. That's why they say in the documents, apparent abduction. And they list this as one of the health concerns of coming to proximity with the UFO, apparent abduction. And then the other health concern would be unaccounted for pregnancy. So the fact that the Pentagon would allow that information into the public sphere is a form of disclosure. It's not outright disclosure. It's not, you know, the Joint Chiefs of Staff holding a press conference and saying, hey, everybody, there is an alien presence and they're abducting human beings. It's not that, but it's almost that. It's a tacit admission that that UFOs are real, which we've gotten that from the Pentagon back in 2017. And now not only are UFOs real, but abductions are also very likely happening.
Interesting
alien abductions.
Yeah, the interesting thing, Tim, that you just mentioned was the significance of the injuries. How do they quantify these injuries? Are they radiation burns? Is it psychological trauma? What are we talking about?
Well, it's both of those things and other things besides. Radiation burns, obviously, because when you get into proximity with the craft, radiation burns, of course, being reported by pilots who get so close to the craft that they're close enough to be affected by the engine, the reactor, the craft's reactor. It's most likely the case, as I've said many times, and I'm highly convinced of this, most likely the case that the many of these advanced aerospace vehicles are using a matter-antimatter reactor that incorporates element 115, which is a exotic matter, which is exotic matter. And so there, it's a form of it's a reactor. It's using a nuclear reaction with exotic matter. And so whenever you get close to something like that, there's going to be radiation. And so it's natural that the pilots would experience radiation burns. But also, pilots have officially reported experiencing time dilation in proximity to the craft. And now this all makes sense because as Doug and I talked on his show a couple of weeks ago, these craft are operating within their own gravitational field. They're distorting space-time through the production of gravity waves, according to, I'm not a physicist, this is according to a physicist, according to Bob Lazar, whose testimony, as I've said many times, I believe is 100% accurate, or at least as accurate as he can be. And so when you put those two things together, radiation burns and time dilation, this is a validation of what Lazar said back in the 90s,
yep.
that these craft are producing gravity waves using a matter-antimatter reactor. This is exactly what you would expect if that was indeed the case. Any pilot that got close enough while these craft are fully energized are going to experience radiation burns and time dilation.
Okay. When we say time dilation, are they displacing time when they're in the sphere of influence of this craft? And do they displace time and space to travel? Is that where we're going with this?
I postulate, and I don't know if Bob Lazar says this. I can't remember if he does or not, or what he thinks about this, or other physicists, what they would have to say about this. But based on my understanding of the physics, if you're in your own gravitational bubble, let's say, if you are warping space-time, because remember, it's not just space and time, it's space-time, according to Einsteinian physics. So if you're warping space-time, then you are effectively changing time within that warped field. So if you get close enough to be affected by that warped space-time field, then your time is going to pass differently than if you were outside of that bubble. And so it's not, I don't think it's, you know, large periods of time, but there's probably, you know, they're, as when they get close to the craft, time starts to pass a little bit differently. Either they realize that it's accelerated or slowed down. It would probably be, it wouldn't be, in my estimation, again, I'm no physicist, but in my estimation, it would be minor time dilation, but, you know, significant enough, as I was talking to Doug the other week, significant enough to hover over a farmer's field and abduct a cow and, you know, core out the cow's eyeballs and anus and drain all the blood and then drop the cow back on the ground and take off before anybody saw it happen. So, you know, it could be a difference of, who knows, 5, 10, 15, 20 minutes within that time dilation, within that gravity field, the distortion field.
We're here on the Doug and Dave Intel Report brought to you by the Common Sense Show. And Doug, let me just throw this back to you here. You're feeling, you've interviewed Tim. I've interviewed Tim a couple of times now in the past few months. And what's your feeling here? Are these hostile beings? Are they here? Let me give you an example. Okay. Like the movie, oh God, I can't remember what it was. When the aliens came here, they heat up the planet. They imitated humans in their form, but they were going to take over a hotter planet. And they were going to exterminate us. Are they here to do takeover? Are they creating a new race with hybridization? Doug, what do you think? When you react to all this, where does your mind go with this?
Well, I have to pull back into the military mindset as to my thought of what could the significant threat be from a advanced species or some other type of artifacts from some other type of intellect, obviously. What could the threat of that be to our United States or to the world? You know, obviously, and as me and Tim have talked about, you know, I think we both come to the agreement that there are things outside of this planet that we can't explain, potentially solar system. And if so, and they were able to travel across space and time to get here, what type of rudimentary weapons do we have that could, you know, potentially repel an attack? Now, there are people out there, and I'm not going to name one of the ufologists, but Tim, you know who I'm going to talk about. There are people out there who want to have this like welcoming party committee for the aliens, for the UFOs. They're consistently trying to contact them through means that we would declare to be new age science. And I think it's interesting because it highlights some of the things like the men who stare at goat programs from the CIA.
Yeah,
it highlights a lot of new age religion. And to me personally, I think in what I was just discussing with L.A. Marzulli last Friday, is I think what's eventually going to come is pulling back archaeological digs and artifacts and bring them to the future to say whatever it is that's coming has to do with our past so that they can have a link there, right? And could there be a threat if it's the New World Order, not, you know, coming to save us from the Old World Order that wants to hit everything with nukes? That could be a real threat because we know where that leads, right? The other problem with that, and Tim, I'm going to ask you this question. Do you think with some of the things that the Pentagon is putting out right now is propaganda to steer us off the real questions and answers?
I wouldn't call it propaganda. I would call it damage control. I would call it controlling the narrative. I think they've lost control of the secrecy that the government has maintained. And of course, I always have this caveat. When I say government, I'm talking about the deep elements of the government. When I'm talking about the deep elements of the government, I'm not talking about the deep state. I'm talking about the dumb state, the deep underground military bases where a lot of this happens. That's out of sight, out of mind, and outside of the jurisdiction of the United States. There's only a handful of generals that probably, by handful, there might be dozens of generals in the United States that have the clearance to go into these bases and even, you know, and even know about these programs. This is cosmic level clearance. This is not your average Joe walking around the Pentagon with a folder under his arm. Those guys, most ufologists in America know more about the alien presence than the vast majority of people working at the Pentagon. And but there would be a handful of people working at the Pentagon who have touched the craft with their hands, who have been involved in hiring and contracting with the military contractors, who are not only in possession of the craft and have been for decades now, but have reverse engineered much of the technology, some of the technology, and have created hybrid craft. So I think that the Pentagon is scrambling to get in front of the story. And they're being very careful. It's like a fire hose, right? If you got all this information that's coming down through the hose, you're going to try and squeeze the tip of that hose as tight as you can, so that you can reduce the flow of information as much as you can, because you can't stop the phenomenon. You can't control the phenomenon. The government can do whatever it wants. It can say whatever it wants, but it can't control the phenomenon. It can't stop the abductions, and it can't stop the craft from hovering over their battleships and their military installations, and sometimes deactivating their nuclear silos. And it's not just the U.S. government, it's global. So what happens if the United States government tries to keep the lid on this thing and the Brazilian government blows it wide open? What happens if the Pentagon tries to keep the lid on and the government over in France decides, you know what, we're just going to tell the people? Well, that makes the Pentagon look really bad, really stupid, and frankly, it makes them look malicious and malevolent and not acting in the interest of the American people. So you have to try and control the narrative. Now, are they controlling the narrative to such a degree that they want this information to come out? Some people think that. I don't. It appears to me that they're scrambling, that they're doing their best to deaden the blow, to leak out just a little bit at a time so that it gets washed out in the populace, washed out in the news. And you've got guys like Tucker Carlson, who I don't know Tucker Carlson, but he seems to be genuinely intrigued and concerned about the UFO phenomenon and the implications. And so from my estimation, I would say a guy like Tucker Carlson is reporting, as he does on many topics, from my, in my opinion, as truthfully as he can, and driven by curiosity and a disdain for government lies. And what is a bigger government lie than this? There isn't one. I mean, there is no bigger government lie than the cover-up of UFOs in the alien presence. There isn't one. And a lot of people, there are some people who believe and who are pushing the narrative that all the UFO activity and all of the phenomena is being perpetrated by the government, which I find to be absolutely, frankly, ridiculous. There's no way any government on the face of the earth could perpetrate the abduction phenomenon. Dr. Jacobs and the late Bud Hopkins, through a test that they formulated some years ago, some decades ago, and it was a very well done test, and I've talked about this numerous times. It was a test designed to try and get a feel for how many abductees are in the populace, in the general populace. So they formulated this test, and it had a lot of questions on there that were just sort of, didn't have anything to do with what they were looking for, because they wanted to set up a good scientific test so that the people didn't know that they were trying to, gather this kind of information. And they were astounded to find that it appears that 5% of the American populace was being abducted. And this was back decades ago. So, 5% of over 300 million people is tens of millions of people that are being abducted. So how in the world could any government be abducting, be involving tens of millions of people just in one nation in the abduction program, where these people are returning with scoop marks and scars and babies in their wombs and memories, screen memories, and sometimes and sometimes memories that they can recall, conscious recall memories of an abduction experience. This isn't a bunch of government guys wearing, you know, dressed up in chicken skins, making themselves look like gray aliens. Now, does the government do that kind of thing? Probably. And I know that the military abductions are a thing. And so, you know, and I shudder to talk about that. I get goosebumps when I talk about military abductions, because you want to, if you want to get, you know, if you want to start to stick your finger on the most sore spot in this whole phenomenon, it's military abductions, where the military is abducting people, or at least was back, you know, decades ago, trying to figure out what the grays are up to. So the grays would abduct people and the military would track it, and they would know that certain people are being abducted. And then after the people go through this terrifying abduction experience with these entities, the grays, then the government would show up in some cases and then abduct these people in a military abduction, bring them on an Air Force base. And that was a way more terrifying experience and brutal experience in most cases. And again, I shudder to say this, because when I talk about this, I know I'm sticking my finger in the wound with the government and you know, this is a very, very dangerous and hot topic when you talk about military abductions.
You brought up a really interesting point. You said, what if Brazil exposes what we're covering up? Putin already threatened to do this. I want to say 5-6 years ago, before the election of Trump, he threatened, if you don't tell the people about UFOs, I will. I found that interesting. And then, Doug, you brought up a really good point too. You said that you think that what's buried in the past will reveal what's going on now. Tim, is that what motivates you to go on these archaeological digs and discoveries?
Well, you know, when we talk about extraterrestrials, we're not just talking about the little gray aliens. We're talking about a much larger constellation of characters. Any being whose provenance, whose origin is not planet Earth, is extraterrestrial. That's what the term means. That's it, period. And so in that context, angels are extraterrestrial. They're not from the Earth. They're not from planet Earth. That's crystal clear in the scriptures. Mankind was created from the substance of the Earth to govern the Earth. Angels are of a different nature. They come from somewhere else. They are therefore extraterrestrial. Their provenance is not planet Earth. And so there are more than one faction, let's say, species, let's say, interacting with mankind that can be classified as extraterrestrial. And they're not all bad. And when I say they're not all bad, before people, you know, start turning red and fuming over that statement, well, when I say they're not all bad, what I'm referring to are angels. Angels obviously are not here to abduct us and do whatever else these other malevolent entities are doing. And so in that context, in the biblical context, when you consider angels as extraterrestrials, again, which they are, then we can say accurately that extraterrestrials have been interacting with mankind since the beginning. I mean, who were Adam and Eve talking to in the Garden of Eden? It wasn't a snake, I can guarantee you that. So if someone asks me, has mankind been interacting with ET for thousands of years? My answer is going to be yes, but not necessarily in the way they think. Now, and that's within the context of angels, this angelic race, who I call the elder race. So within that context, yes, the good ones and the bad ones, by the way. Mankind has been interacting with both of those for thousands of years. Now, if we talk specifically about the grays, the gray aliens, we're talking about a faction that I believe has only been around, has showed up to our planet probably back in the late 1800s, at the turn of the 19th century, or the 20th century. And so I think that those guys are relatively new on the scene, and they have a very specific program that they are executing on the Earth. Whereas the other faction, the angelic faction, of course, we've been interacting with them for thousands of years. So we have to, you know, and there may be other factions involved here too that we don't know about. And so when we see these craft flying around in the sky And as you guys know, I've seen one myself. You know, there's a few possibilities. Either this could be some kind of this, it might be the good guys flying around, i.e. the angels. It might be the bad angels falling around, i.e. the fallen angels flying around in these craft, navigating the skies in these craft. It could be the grays. And oftentimes, I think more often than not, it is the grays, or it could be something else. And also throw in the hybrid craft that we have reverse engineered, that we've been able to devise ourselves using conventional components and alien technology, and reverse engineering our own advanced aerospace vehicles. So from an archaeological perspective, and I know this is a long-winded answer, but I want to make sure this is clear for everybody. So in an archaeological perspective, when I look at the ancient, and I'm talking about the antediluvian world, the world before the great cataclysm, the last great cataclysm, which the Bible designates as the great flood. The world before the great flood was absolutely influenced by extraterrestrials. That's the whole story of the Watchers who descended from heaven. The Watchers aren't from the earth. They're not earthborn. In fact, the Nephilim, one of the meanings of the word Nephilim is earthborn. Their offspring were earthborn. They were produced here. They were hybrid earthborn beings, but their fathers, the Watchers, were not. They were extraterrestrial. They were Watchers. They came from the kingdom of heaven, wherever that is, by the way. So so the point is, yes, when you look in the distant past, I do believe that some of what we see in the earth might have come as a result of extraterrestrial influence, but in the context of the Watchers, in the context of the biblical narrative and of the Enochian narrative. I don't believe the Greys were interacting with mankind way back then. And I'm sorry for the long-winded answer.
No, it's okay, because I think it's important to clarify. But I'm hearing elements of Genesis 6, correct?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Absolutely. Doug? So that's when you talk about extraterrestrial, the Watchers were extraterrestrial. They were not from the earth. So everybody wants to say, and I get accused of being an ancient astronaut theorist, which I'm not. I don't subscribe to the bogus and ridiculous theories that those guys come up with. I think most of it is absolutely just really shoddy research is what it boils down to. But the premise of ancient astronaut theory is actually biblical. It's actually biblical that there were ancient extraterrestrial beings interacting with mankind in the distant past. Well, if you believe in the Genesis 6 narrative, as I do, that it was angels, Watchers, who descended to the earth, and then that is indeed a biblical concept.
Let me ask you something, Tim. Could the Greys be a construct of the Watchers?
I don't know. I mean, I guess anything's possible. When you're talking about these beings who exceed us, mm-hmm. in their knowledge and in their technology, and also are much older than we are. These beings come from a very old civilization, certainly older than mankind, and that's borne out in the biblical narrative. Then anything's possible. I mean, if they're flying around in these advanced aerospace vehicles that are hundreds of years more advanced than our current technology, maybe thousands of years more advanced than our current technology, then all bets are off. I suppose that a race that is that advanced, and when I say a race, I'm talking about the elder race, whom I call the elder race, the angelic race. I suppose that they would be able to, you know, genetically engineer creatures that would be like the Greys. So did they create the Greys? Did the quote unquote fallen angels, which by the way are the same faction, they're from the same faction as the good angels. I should say that differently. They're from the same race as the good angels. Just because they're fallen doesn't mean like they mutated into some ugly thing with horns. I think that's a misconception. They're just on the wrong team. They didn't change their appearance. They changed their allegiance. They are now enemies of the kingdom. Sense. They're apostate sons of God, but sons of God nonetheless, apostate in a state of rebellion and condemned. And so could they have genetically engineered the Greys? I suppose it's possible. I personally kind of doubt that. And remember, when we talk about the Greys, we're not just talking about the little 3.5 to 4 foot tall Greys. We're talking about the beings that are above them on the in the hierarchy on the you know aboard the, their craft, because it's not just the greys. Above the greys are the insectolins, what Dr. Jacobs calls the insectolins. These other creatures that are even more bizarre and alien than the greys. So in my estimation, they're the ones who made the greys. They're the ones who genetically engineered the greys. The insectolins engineered the greys. Now, did somebody engineer the insectolins? I don't know. I guess this is kind of like a question that you can just keep rolling and rolling and rolling back into the past. But that's a long-winded answer for I have no idea.
Well, you know, I asked the question because I was looking the other day in Genesis 6. And in the scripture, it talks about the sons of God taking women as their brides. Doesn't say engaging them. Doesn't say courting them. It says taking them for brides, which I think could be interpreted as possibly abducting them as brides. What do you think about that?
Well, we know that according to the Book of Enoch, that the Watchers descended on the summit of Hermon.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say on the, through the Stargate on the summit of Hermon. And because descend is not really an accurate description of what they did. They arrived on the summit of Hermon or thereabouts, according to Enoch. And they descended into the plains after binding themselves by mutual imprecations. They took a pact, basically like a blood oath, and they descended into the plains of Lebanon. And they began to choose for themselves wives among the children of men. And so I postulate this in my book that the Watchers were looking to make a legal transaction with the sons of men. By the way, we, the offspring of Adam, we are the regents of earth. We are the regents of earth. The Bible says in Psalms, it says that the heavens, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth he has given to the sons of men. And that was written by the psalmist. So we're talking in a post-flood context here. So mankind never lost his dominion of the earth. So I believe that mankind is the rightful ruler of the earth, operating as a vice regent, supposed to operate as a vice regent on behalf of the King of heaven, the Son of God. And so, so I believe that the Watchers were looking to make a legal transaction with mankind, with the sons of Adam, more likely the sons of Cain, in which they offered mankind, they offered the sons of Cain what they were already striving to learn, it says in Enoch. So the mankind was already striving to learn some kind of knowledge, probably some kind of technological knowledge, and the Watchers knew that. And so they made a bargain. They struck a bargain, a Faustian bargain, which is we will teach you what you want to learn. We'll teach you these secrets, these scientific technological secrets. And in turn, you give us your daughter's hands in marriage. So they selected the women they wanted to marry, in my estimation. And they struck a bargain with the offspring of Adam, again, specifically, probably with the offspring of Cain. We give you technology, you give us your daughter's hands in marriage. Remember that in the old world, and even not that long ago, daughters were given in marriage. The father had the authority to wed his daughter, and it was often done as a transaction, right? And it would be done in the context of a treaty or a contract. And so I think that's exactly what happened. It was a contract. It was a treaty. We give you a contract, not so much a treaty or a contract, a bargain. We give you what you're striving to learn in terms of knowledge and technology. You give us your daughter's hands in marriage. It's a legal transaction with the rightful regents of planet Earth. And I think that that bargain was struck because the Watchers knew that what they were doing was a great, what could amount to, you know, swift retribution from the kingdom of heaven. That's why they took that pact of mutual imprecations. We're all in this together, and we're not going to back down. We're going to do this together and we're going to suffer the consequences together. But I think that they were hoping that they could strike a legal bargain with the rightful rulers of planet Earth so that the kingdom of heaven would not intervene. And so that's what I think they did.
That's really interesting. The I don't know if I shared this with you or not, Tim, I'm sorry, but when I was teaching a psychology course, post-secondary psych course, I had a student who approached me, and after he said some really interesting introductory things about my future, he went on to reveal he was the grandson of a Hopi elder, and he began to lay out some of the history, and I wanted to know how much of that you agree with, like we're in the fifth world, and that these beings visited the Hopis, and they gave them all kinds of prophecies. I mean, how familiar are you with the Hopis?
I'm somewhat familiar with the Hopis, but you're going to find similar mythology, similar traditions in different cultural groups around the world.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them it's better articulated within certain cultures. In all of these ancient Native American cultures, of course, it's all word of mouth. It's all oral traditions. But even the Inca had stories like this where the different ages of the earth and in the first age of the earth, there were giants and the giants were destroyed in a flood. And so it's not uncommon to find this kind of mythology, and often among Native Americans, it's explained within the context of star people. The star people came.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what they call them. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that would be, to me, that harkens back to the Genesis 6 affair in the antediluvian world.
That's what I was taking. When I heard him talk, I thought, this is just a different version of Genesis 6.
Yeah, that's right.
Exactly.
That's right. And if we remember that, the Tower of Babel affair, that that mankind was, even if you just take it as an allegory, mankind was together. Mankind was coalesced at some point in the earth and was of one culture and then dispersed. And remember, that was a commandment of God that they would, that they were supposed to spread out and fill the earth and subdue it and so forth. And they didn't, Nimrod actually gathered the people in direct defiance of God rather than spreading out and filling the earth. He gathered the people to build an empire, which was the very polar opposite of what God had commanded. And so we all know the story. God confused the language and the people then dispersed over the earth. But it's important to remember that even though those people would have had different languages, they all came from the same culture. So they're all carrying the seeds of the same culture. They're all carrying the fundamentals of the same stories, the fundamental details, the basic details of the same stories. And as they go across the earth and as they become isolated from one another and as their languages change, those stories become distorted. So everybody has, all these different cultures are left with a distorted version of the one story that they all left home with thousands of years or hundreds of years ago. Right. And so we should expect to find in that scenario, we should expect to find seeds of the same story all over the earth, but the names are different. Some of the details change, but the basic premise is the same.
Yeah.
And that is exactly what we find.
Interesting. Well, in the time we have left, because we are kind of closing in on the end of the segment. Ladies and gentlemen, if you enjoyed this conversation, you say, well, there's so much more. Dave asked the question about, are they really a threat from the movie The Arrival with Charlie Sheen? Well, we're going to answer all that, but not here tonight. There's a conference coming up, and Doug and I are lucky enough to have been invited as members of the media for the Doug and Dave Intel Report. But Tim is one of the principals of the conference, the Birthright Conference. Tim, tell everyone about the conference, when it is, where it is, and
well, the conference is coming up real soon, and within a couple of weeks here, it's going to take place from the 6th through the 7th of May in Nashville, Tennessee. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to be doing a couple of presentations. And by the way, I think these are the best presentations I've ever put together, and they're going to be the most controversial and frankly, I think the most powerful in terms of the intel and the paradigm that I'm presenting, but also My friend Gary Haven is going to be talking about the link between COVID and transhumanism, which I'm really looking forward to. Gary's an expert in this field, in terms of handling that information, everything that's happened over the last couple of years in the, you know what, I don't want to say it because I don't want to get banned on YouTube. So, and also Joe
this,
Allen.
This one, this doesn't go out over YouTube.
Oh, okay, good.
Okay.
and also, Joe Allen is going to be presenting, and Joe Allen is Steve Bannon's correspondent on transhumanism. I think Joe Allen is the premier expert on transhumanism in the world today in terms of, as a reporter, reporting on it and analyzing it. And so Joe's going to be talking about transhumanism. Mancow Muller is going to be there. Some people will recognize the name Mancow. He's a legend in Chicago, legendary radio personality. And Mancow is going to be hosting a conversation, almost like a live radio show there with me and Gary and Joe about the topics. And there's going to be a Q&A where I'm going to be answering a lot of the questions that I'm sure I'm going to get bombarded with by the time I'm done with my second presentation. And on Friday, we're going to have a lot of people there as people are registering. We're going to have a really awesome event going on. It's going to be a live interview event where we're going to have different people such as you guys conducting live interviews as people are registering for the conference. So this is, and there's going to be, it's going to be 3 hours worth of different people doing interviews. And I'm going to be doing a book signing on Friday. So there's a lot of activity happening on Friday too, from 2 o'clock to 5 o'clock, on Friday. So it's going to be really fun. And, I think really powerful information.
Yeah, if you need any more information, you go to Tim's website. That's timothyalberino.com. You can see the conference there. And I suggest anyone listening, if you have the free time, sign up, come to the conference, come hang out with us, come meet us. You're not going to get this type of information anywhere else. Now, I know, Tim, you're going to be able to put it out on DVD, so people will be able to purchase it, correct?
That is correct. We are going to be offering video on demand and DVD of the conference. And I think we're going to be doing pre-orders on that. I'll be announcing that on my YouTube channel and on my mailing list when that happens. That's in the works, though. And by the way, people can go to birthrightconference.com, birthrightconference.com, to get tickets. And, you know, there's still time to get your tickets and make your travel arrangements. There's plenty of room in the hotel where the conference is taking place. We slotted off a bunch of rooms. There's plenty of rooms left for people who need them. And you can get $40 off right now. You can get $40 off on the conference. Use promo code Brandon.
Okay. I've got that posted in one place on my website, but we're going to post this as well in a day or two. And we'll put that information up there as far as registration goes too. So people will be able to access it there. Doug, is there any unfinished business?
Hey, real quick, can you explain in 3 minutes what you think is going on with the Lucifer telescope and the Catholics and the disclosure?
Great question. Asking me that?
Yeah.
I don't know exactly. The Catholic Church, the Vatican more specifically,
exactly,
has been extremely interested in the question of the theological implications of the UFO phenomenon and of the alien presence. I think the Vatican is fully aware that there is an alien presence. They probably know as much, if not more, than the Pentagon, I would guess. Their intelligence agency, which is referred to as the Entity, is by far the best on planet Earth. They're the best and have been for centuries, really. I mean, before the United States was even a thing, the Vatican had an intelligence agency. So they're very interested in the theological implications, and not only they're more than interested, they're already laying a theological groundwork for the arrival of extraterrestrials and the arrival of the and I think that they're planning for a disclosure of a benevolent race, at least. If there is disclosure on the nefarious alien presence, which would be the Greys, I think they're also expecting disclosure on the alleged good guys, the supposed they've been referring to them as alien saviors. You know, you'll find some of that language in the Vatican's own documents. They're preparing for the arrival of alien saviors. And so, and these alien saviors, and I talk about this in my book, I believe are going to be, I call them Apollo and his consorts, and his consort, Apollo and his consort, Apollo being the Antichrist. So I believe who they call alien saviors are in fact going to be hybrids, and they're going to be anything but saviors. They're going to be the enemies of God, and they're going to ultimately lead the world into a kinetic war with the returning Christ. That's called Armageddon. Armageddon is a kinetic. Armageddon isn't a war with Israel. People need to realize it's a kinetic war with the King of Heaven returning to the earth. It's the second coming of Christ. It is a kinetic war. That means we're talking technological conflict. And so the Vatican is getting, just like the Pentagon's getting in front of this stuff, the Vatican is getting in front of it. But from a theological perspective, laying the groundwork for what I believe is going to be a new religion also.
Yes. Yeah, that's, I think, undoubtedly going to grow in the last days. You answered my question, though. This is a very hostile takeover.
Oh, I don't think there's any question about it. I mean, if you look at the Grays program and you study the abduction phenomenon, it looks like they're trying to supplant us with hybrids. So that's, I would call that hostile. And by the way, I think that the Grays are, you know, they represent a threat to the human species, the likes of which we've never faced, perhaps, or at least since the flood. And I believe that the alien saviors are going to show up to save us from that threat.
Hence what we typically call in the vernacular Project Bluebeam, for lack of a better term. Interesting. Very, wow. Fascinating stuff. This is the kind of thing we're going to be covering. Imagine you're going to be covering in the conference that Doug and I are going to be covering. This is going to be, Doug, we're going to have some fun. This is going to be good. Well, gentlemen, we're out of time, but ladies and gentlemen, I'll be posting, in fact, you may be seeing this on the website, but if you're catching it here on our TV show, I'll be posting this as well on the website, so you can get the registration information. And there's always live stream if you can't make it. But again, that's May 6th and 7th. Final question, Tim. When should people plan on arriving?
I would say by 2 o'clock Friday, because that's when the conference officially starts. Okay. 2 o'clock on Friday. It's going to be fun. I think a lot of people that might be some people's favorite part of the conference, because it's going to be live interviews. Everyone's going to be able to watch us do this in person, and then come up and talk to us and ask us questions and engage with us.
That's incredible.
And it's not just me. It's going to be with everybody I already mentioned. And then there's going to be some other people there as well. I'll just say there's going to be some celebrities from the music industry walking around at this conference, and other very, very interesting people. So it's, and I'm not saying that, you know, to just name drop, it's just going to be a charged, fun, exciting, dynamic atmosphere. This is not going to be like other conferences people have been to. And I understand it's Mother's Day weekend and stuff, and so, you know, people are having a hard time making, freeing up some time. But like I said, there's still time to get your tickets and get to the conference. And if you can make it, don't miss this event.
Exactly. I love the interaction you're setting up with the audience. That's really commendable. Doug, final word before we close.
Hey, everyone, thank you very much for listening, for following us, subscribing to us. Subscribe to Timothy Alberino. Check out his YouTube channel. Same thing for me and Dave. And if you can make it there, come hang out with us. It's going to be a blast.
Absolutely. Love to meet you. I know Tim feels the same way. Tim, always outstanding stuff. I feel like we just saw a bunch of teasers out there unintentionally, because there's no closure yet, but we'll get some closure at the conference.
Exactly. Hey, Tim, we're going to pick up this conversation in a couple of weeks live in Nashville.
It's going to be fun. Gentlemen, thank you very much. Doug and Dave, Intel Report here, courtesy of the Common Sense Show. Thank you for joining us, ladies and gentlemen. Please join us in Nashville. By the way, I heard from a little bird today. Bob Griswold is going to come and join us. Yeah, so you'll get to meet him too. Hey, look, thanks a lot, guys. We'll be in touch.
Thank you.
Thanks, Tim. All stations, all stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. End of transmission.